Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from a hotel room in Santa Barbara, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Almost a motel room. It is a hotel room, but it's almost a motel room.
What is the difference between a motel and a hotel?
I think just quality, right? We got, like, in a hotel, you don't usually have the maintenance man sliding behind you early in the morning. Like, is this door? Oh, that window's open. That's what it is. But yeah, like, it's interesting. I'm at this hotel, motel, perfect location, right on the beach. If I turned my camera just a little bit this way, you'd be able to see the ocean. But this sliding door, you see this, like, sliding patio door that you can see in the shot? That is the only door to the room. Enter and exit. Your key unlocks a patio door.
Yeah, I see he was pushing the container that holds the towels. I remember pushing
the linen cart.
I remember that. I used to have to do that when I worked at the Caesar's Palace Spa. I used to have to push that thing around, fold the towels, load them in. If they need help, I can help them.
Yeah, they do need help. They were working at all hours last night, no matter what time it was. Seemed like the linen cart was getting pushed around.
It's important.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep the clean sheets.
It's a very strangely laid out hotel. You know how, like, every hotel, everything kind of faces the same direction? For some reason, I swear, this, like, there's, it feels like all the patio doors face out, and there should be another door that faces, like, some sort of central area where this linen guy doesn't have to go on a patio all day. But nope, just patio doors. So everything faces in different directions.
Well, if we're hurting for content, we can bring him on the show.
Yeah. We'll see if he has any picks for the football games this weekend.
I doubt it, though.
I have a feeling he's a Raiders fan.
I was just going to say, I'm going to assume.
Cancel.
He's working for the Raiders.
He's like, which, actually, it's Cowboys, fool.
Yeah, which
my game's not till Monday, fool.
I do look forward to getting to those picks, especially the Raiders, because this is where they let us down.
Totally.
Because they should win again this week.
And we're all off the Dolphins. You know, we were never on the Dolphins. Many of the Dolphins fans, the Dirty Sports Podcast, were upset. How dare you? Tua is Dan Marino, a left-handed Dan Marino. They beat the Patriots. The Patriots have won six Super Bowls in the last 20 years. Obviously, by process of elimination, the Dolphins are the greatest team in football. And then they lose, and now they'll have their big, you know, upset victory over the Raiders, and it'll kill our Raiders fandom. It'll drive the Dolphins fans wild. I can see it happening already.
Well, speaking of the Dolphins,
Mack will show up. Double down.
I have been watching Cocaine Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. The show or the documentary?
The documentary.
Okay.
The newest one of Billy Corbin on Netflix. It's a 6-part docuseries.
So there's a newer one. This is not the original.
So they had two, which I've both seen, like, back, I think, in 2006, 2008. Now, this is on the arguably two of the biggest drug smugglers in United States history, Sal Magluta and Willie Falcone. And dude, Miami's nuts, man. Like, I watch this stuff and I sometimes say, how much of this shit are you going to watch? Because I watch a lot of it. And whether it's scripted or documentaries. And I like Billy Corbin. I've liked a lot of his stuff. You know, he did those 30 for 30s and Screwball, that other documentary on Balco and Alex Rodriguez. And
he loves Miami. The dude loves Miami.
Born and raised, man.
Yeah.
But it's I don't know, man. I watch this stuff and I think,
Do you think he's already prepping a documentary on the 2021 Dolphins? I mean, they did beat the Patriots in week one on a last minute fumble. But do you think he's already like, oh, if this keeps going, they continue to be Super Bowl favorites? He has been in my DMs yelling at me that I haven't given them enough love.
Well, I don't know if he's going to do that, but I watch these things and it sometimes makes me wonder, should I be a criminal?
Okay. This is where you're at, 40 years old. You're like, is it time to turn to a life of crime?
Well, I just think sometimes
you might have missed your window, buddy.
You see how easy it can be. And if you get out, and that's the problem, nobody gets out. If you put 5 years of work into the game and then you get out with millions, but people just want to add to that millions. That's
the problem. You know, the whole it's like when I broke my leg, you know, it's the doctor said, everybody comes in and says the same thing. Last run of the day, you know, it's like, of course it's the last run of the day. If somebody comes in and they broke their knee or shredded their MCL, do you think they were like, oh, I was going to do two more? Like, of course it's the last run of the day. So I feel like in all these stories of like what could have happened, it's always like, we could have gotten out. It's like, but you never really were going to, not for 1 second. It's like,
sure.
It always ends with you getting busted.
But is there a better time than a 40-year-old guy who is coaching grade school basketball and doing a podcast and living in his recently deceased parents' house in the suburbs of Cincinnati, Ohio? Is there a better cover than that? I think it's a great cover.
All I can say, Andy, and you know, I know there's a lot of people out there who are upset that their freedoms are getting taken away because, you know, they have to wear masks to the coffee shop or whatever. But the time to do this was definitely pre 9/11. Cause after that, literally the FBI is already building a file on your drug smuggling because we're having this conversation. They monitor all of our phone calls, texts, Zooms, FaceTimes, tweets, Reddit posts. They monitor, like, they have it all written down, you know,
do they?
But yes,
I think they do, but I also think there's severe negligence within a lot of these government departments. I don't know. Anyway,
they have to do is put your name into a system and the algorithm will spit out the information it needs. No human's actually listening. Just a bot is listening.
Okay. So maybe I shouldn't become a drug smuggler. I
would say you missed your window physically, mentally, and, you know, I mean, how many carts are going to get pushed by this window?
I'm just laughing. That's what I'm laughing about. Maybe they're smuggling drugs in those carts. Maybe those linen carts are just full of cocaine.
Full of something. How many linen carts can one hotel have?
See, Joe, this is what happens when your team, like my Cincinnati Reds, just have an epic collapse. You start thinking about irrational thoughts of becoming a drug smuggler. I know you've gone through it with the Mets. I bet Padres fans are feeling it. I was reading an article the other day saying how those three teams, this is like an all-time epic collapse, you could argue, of like three teams doing this together.
Yeah.
And more recently of the Padres and the Reds, where just two teams just said, we're going to lose every game. And then now the Cardinals of all teams.
The Mets got out on it early. But there was a great stat, and I forget the specific date, but it was something crazy. It was something like, if the Mets had played 500 baseball since August 1st, they'd be up 11.5 games in the division, or like something insane like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like I was saying that about the Reds. I go, if they've just played 500 ball since I think August 23rd, when they went up 13. They were 13 games above 500. They'd be coasting away with this. But,
and the National League, I mean, no one wants it. And obviously the Cardinals have taken it, but no one, I mean, if you look at the Cardinals, I believe it's the Mariners who are, I don't know, third out of the wild card or something like that in the AL. They have more wins than the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals have won 11 straight.
11 straight. Oh, I hate it. As someone who went to school there and has always dealt with them I knew it. My buddy and I, no lie, called this a few weeks ago. We said, it's not going to be the Reds or the Padres. The Cardinals are going to sneak in. And here they are. Take a guess how many losing seasons the Cardinals have had since 2000.
Two.
Very close. One. They're always there.
Yeah.
One losing season. And I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
And as a Mets fan, I hate it too. Like, they're an old school, you know, NL East rival. Stay hating the Cardinals. You know, I've been to a few Cardinals games recently, you know, spending more time in St. Louis. And, you know, you're like, meh. Like, nothing about the team or the franchise, like, bothers me except for the fact that they're just the Cardinals. Like, fuck the Cardinals.
Yeah, and I admit a lot of it's jealousy. I'm not going to deny that. It's a lot of same division. They dominate the Reds.
Yeah, that's you. It's, you know, interdivision rival. That's a different kind of hate.
And Yadi, I just can't stand Yadi.
Yeah.
I've never liked him. You go back to that feud he had with Brandon Phillips when the bench is cleared, and just years of and the neck tats. You got neck tats. If you have neck tats, you better be a drug smuggler. Like, you need to
I was about to say, Andy, I don't think you're like old man handing away of the neck tats that you just did. You're like, neck tats. I don't think that's going to serve you well in your new career as a international drug smuggler.
That's what I'm saying. If you had
showing up on a dock in Miami, getting a bunch of cocaine, you're like, I don't know if I trust you with your neck tats.
No,
your little necky tats.
That's why I made that point. If you do have neck tats, you can be a drug. Like, that's the one job that you have.
Everything's cancelable these days. Don't body shame people. Don't art decision shame.
That's what Johnny Depp said yesterday.
What'd he say?
No one is safe. He said,
I thought he was defending shitty tattoos because it's probably got some.
Yeah, no, he does. What did he say? He said that his quote, I watched it, about cancel culture. No one is safe, not one of you, referring to the reporters at some press thing, which I tend to agree, like, because people went after him. So
what did they go after him for?
I think it was that, you know, him and that wife, Amber Heard, had some things, and she accused him of domestic abuse, but she was actually beating him from what I've seen.
Like, she was like, way to break the story, Andy. Yeah. This is from two years ago.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
She was like whooping his ass with like frying pans and stuff.
Yeah.
Am I correct in that?
I mean, I don't know about the frying pan, but yeah, he was like audio recording it or whatever. And she was the abusive one the whole time.
Man, dude, his accent is so funny too, because I'm watching that interview and I'm thinking, I don't even know what his accent is anymore when he's not acting.
Yeah.
It's kind of British, but kind of American.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's just cocaine lockjaw. That's a guy you want inroads into the drug game. Go talk to Johnny Depp. I mean, I think the rumor is that he literally went, by the way, he gets like $30 million for a fucking Pirates of the Caribbean now. Like, he's made over $350 million in a career. Rumors are he went broke just on wine, just drinking wine.
Yeah,
that's an insane amount of wine.
Did you read that Rolling Stone article about him a few years ago?
Yeah, amazing.
That's what it was about.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, props to him. If you can spend $300 million drinking wine, like, fucking, you're going to have a weird accent at the end of it.
You know what he should do? Johnny Depp should spend that money on Miller Lite.
Yeah. Johnny. Right? Cheap, delicious, American.
Yeah.
No?
I actually can't think of a better alcohol brand than Miller Lite for Johnny Depp. I mean, look, he's trying to be a man of the people. He's Captain Jack Sparrow. I mean, is there a more fitting beer for Captain Jack Sparrow than Miller Lite?
No. Just throw it all on ice, put it in the boat, just crushing cans on the Black Pearl.
I mean, it's unbelievable. With great taste and only 96 calories, Miller Lite is brewed with beer lovers in mind, just like Jack Sparrow. I know he's a beer lover. It has been the light beer with great taste since 1975. So Dirtballs, next time you're getting ready to enjoy cold ones with your friends, go to MillerLite.com/dirty sports and find delivery options near you. Or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Okay, now that I've vented about my team going down the shitter, which for the record wouldn't have really mattered because I didn't give the Reds much of a chance in a one-game playoff at San Francisco or Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what.
One game, anything can happen.
I was going to say, anything can happen. But I will be rooting hard against the Cardinals, whoever they play. So I will probably find myself rooting maybe for the Dodgers.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I will be rooting for I'll be rooting for the Giants against whichever one of them prevails. It's a miserable draw for the NL for me, you know?
Yeah.
Dodgers, Cardinals, Braves. Let's go Giants, Milwaukee, NLCS. Good luck to Andy Lass, Nate Craig. Those boys will be up in San Francisco this weekend for their Niners-Packers battle.
That'll be a fun game. I'll look forward to discussing that here in a few minutes. Yeah. Before we do that, it's official. Ben Simmons, we kind of heard this before. He will not report to training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the franchise. He hasn't spoken to them since late August.
I got to say, he's very upset about the fact that he stunk last year. He's very upset about it.
It's unbelievable.
He's so upset. He's upset at the city. Like, I like Ben Simmons' game. That's the thing.
I don't.
Okay.
Like, dude, like, you know, I don't like your game. You can't shoot. This is NBA in 2021. If you can't shoot, what are you doing?
I'm just like, my thing on, like, it's all relative. It's all value. It's all like whatever. Like, I was just arguing with somebody again the other day about Kirk Cousins, and they're like, he's not that bad. And I'm like, yeah, except he's the eighth highest paid player in all of football. It's like, sure, if he was on a rookie deal, I'll be like, hey, let's see what he's got. You know, Ben Simmons, like, sure, he can't shoot, but he's still like an elite defender, you know, crazy in terms of being able to facilitate the offense. Certainly, like, in the open court, he has a skill set that can be valuable in the NBA. But and I understand that he was the number one overall pick and everybody said the next LeBron James and blah, 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 blah. And he didn't live up to that. But like, living up to that doesn't even matter to me. What matters to me is you're not living up to your contract.
Yes.
And now you're acting like the world should everything's fine with your game to me. You're just treating the whole situation, the whole trade, the whole demand. Like, you, who are you to demand anything?
Well,
like,
okay.
Your problem is you can't shoot in the NBA. My problem is if you can't shoot in the NBA, you're not allowed to make demands.
Yeah. Well, okay. We agree there. If you can't shoot in the NBA, you're not worth 5 years, $177 million. Plain and simple. That's an average $35 million a year. You're just not worth that.
100%.
You're just not worth that, man. And he needs to go to a team, obviously, that doesn't need shooting from him, who just needs his defense and his ability to pass the ball.
Or he needs to go to a team where they're going to figure it out for him. So, you know, San Antonio's turned everybody into a shooter. They have their super shooting coach. The Warriors have shooters. They have the, like I said, you know, Livingston is now like in the front office. And like, I've been saying, go there forever. Now, meanwhile, Bob Myers is getting like fined for commenting on it and shit like that.
To me, again, I just think shooting is a fixable problem. I just think it is. I can almost argue that's one of the most fixable problems of all the three major sports. You can't shoot. There's an easy way to fix that, man.
Here's my other, hear this argument out. I think he can shoot. I think he has a mental block more than he has a physical block. He doesn't shoot. That's a way more major issue. Rajon Rondo couldn't shoot, but he did shoot. You keep people on their heels. You know what I mean? You keep people on their toes leaning forward at your jump shot. Like, make one a game and then blow by people the rest of the game. This is the exact same thing we're talking about with the NFL, where it's like, you don't need to establish the run in terms of like getting X amount of run. You just need to seem like you might do it. Ben Simmons' mental aspect is way worse than his physical shooting, because he refuses to shoot. And then when he goes to the line, he's so fucked up. And like, dude, I guarantee you he hits 85% of his free throws in practice. I guarantee it.
I
guarantee it.
What are you basing that off of?
I'm basing that off of everything I know about his approach on the court, everything I know about even like his technique, everything like that. Like, Andy, what do you think you would shoot if I just sent you to a closed gym and you got to shoot free throws? You think you shoot 80%?
70 to 75.
Okay. You think you shoot 70, 75% in NBA games? Because I can tell you for a fact, I wasn't even a good free throw shooter back in the day. You know, I was probably a 70 in practice guy. I bet you I was a 55er in the games.
But you realize what you're saying. That's all that matters. If you can't translate success in the games when it matters, then your value is even lower than what we're talking about.
I completely agree. But my point is, I think it's even more fixable than like, oh, just go to the gym and shoot a 10,000 free throws. Like, bro, you're demanding trades. You're refusing to show up to camp. You're so mentally incapable of even showing up on the court. Like, how dare you?
You know what they
if
need?
If it was a physical thing, you say, hey, man, why can't you guys get better coaches? Why can't you help me with this and this and this? It's like, dude, every aspect of this shows me that he's just mentally weak.
They need to do, I'm gonna reference one of my favorite Sandler movies. They need to do a little Billy Madison, what he was doing with Chris Farley when he get a question right. So they need to grab his girlfriend. I just Googled. His current girlfriend is Maya Jama. I don't know who this is. I know he's dated a Jenner. So she needs to be like, dude, no sex until you make free throws. So they do it in practice where she can take off her clothes. And then when he makes like 10 in a row, she'll be like, that is correct. And then she takes off her clothes. Just go full Billy Madison.
I don't know who is Maya Jama. Now I just put her in, and then the first thing that comes up is Stormzy says he still loves Maya Jama as he addressed. Who's Stormzy? I don't know who any of these people are. Is she like British or something?
I have no clue.
She's got to be British. It's the only explanation for this. I've never heard of this person in my life. An English television and radio presenter. She co-presented on the BBC. There you go. I was like, why do I not know this person?
I'm looking at her right now, too. I feel like these type of people. Like,
what do you mean these types of people?
The women NBA players date.
Okay.
That's what I mean by these types of people. Like, they all look the same. Like, it's like her. Like, she's attractive.
But she's basically a younger Sonya Curry.
She's like ethnically ambiguous. Like, I don't know. Dark skin, attractive, got the big butt, big boobs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like every single one of these girls, and if they are
hot take.
And if they are white girls, they try to look not white.
All NBA wags have big boobs, big asses. I think, I don't know. I'm coming on. I'm putting together a little theory here. They'll dress a little bit revealing. They'll look like they could be strippers.
It's the Andy Ruther hot take of the day. Put that on the Reddit thread. Coming in with these hot takes. But they all kind of look the same, right?
Sure.
I'm saying like ethnically too. You're like, I don't know. Is she half black, half white? Is she Latin? Is she Persian? She's like, you know, you're not exactly sure. She got the nice, good looking dark skin. Those booties, I'll be honest, they're just too big right now. Like my little short white ass cannot handle that. I'll just be full honest
once
with that.
Once again, just killing your cocaine dealer. Like, you're like, tattoos and these big asses. I don't know. Can be the Larry David of Miami coke dealers. Guys, with the guns again, can we all just calm down?
No, I'm saying I personally can't handle that. That's all I'm saying. Again, if you got the neck tat, you should be in the cocaine smuggling game. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't be the catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
I don't know. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, so I think he's doing okay.
Ah, pains me. I probably think Yachty's the most disliked Cardinal for me in my lifetime. It's pretty easy right there. So where does Ben Simmons go?
I have no fucking idea.
I don't think anybody does.
I have no idea. To me, and I said, are you drinking out of a thimble?
Oh, it's like
you drinking out of a sippy cup?
Well, yeah, you know, we have these for the kids, and then I put a little kombucha in it, but I didn't want to drink the whole thing. So I, thimble. That's what I'm drinking out of. Little kids cup.
I mean, to me, the obvious answer forever was the Warriors. They announced right away that they basically weren't interested, you know, or I don't know if that was a, you know, we broke up with you kind of thing. Like, but I don't know what kind of discussions were actually had, but that to me seemed obvious. What's crazy to me is if with his contract, you have to be a contender-ish, right? Like, you have to feel like he pushes you over some sort of hump or changes the style of play that you have that maybe, like, maybe you think this re-energizes our squad. Like, it gives us a whole different look somehow. And because if you're a struggling team, like, what's the reason to bring on Ben Simmons if you're, like, team that's trying to turn it around?
Yeah, there's not.
Spending all that money and then he can figure it out while you guys figure it out, and then what?
Sure.
Then you have to give him that money again like 2 years from now? So to me, it has to be like a team like, you know, the Warriors. Like, I don't know, maybe the Spurs? Like, does Popovich, like, buy low, sell high?
I don't see the Spurs investing all that money.
I don't either. But that's what I'm saying. Like, what team is even out there that, like, you know, is it the Mavericks? Like, I just don't know. Do the Mavericks do, like, a Porzingis? But it's like the Luka's their ball dominant guy, you know?
Yeah, it'll be curious how it plays out.
I just don't know the team.
Yeah, I don't either. It'll be interesting. You watch Monday Night Football, Eli and Peyton, right?
I love it so much.
Yeah,
I can't believe there are people who don't like it.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. I think I know it's only been two times. I think this could revolutionize sports broadcasting. I really believe that. I think it's that unique, entertaining, also educational.
It's like, dude, in two games. And Romo's good. I like Romo.
Romo's such a dork, though. I know everyone gets annoyed when I say that. I just think Romo's a dork.
He is a dork, but he's no more dorky than I feel like half of the guys who are like he's way more dorky than the Manning brothers. But, you know, is he more of a dork than, I don't know, Kirk Herbstreit? Like,
yes, I think he is.
Well, okay.
That's, well, I think that's my
opinion. Like, on what, you know what I mean? Like, not a cool guy.
I think what they're doing makes the game so fun. My point was,
I've learned more in two weeks with them than in the history of football broadcasting before that. Like, they just, and you know, they're so offense facing, like, they're rooting for the offense the whole time. They're giving you everything from a quarterback perspective.
Well, and also the guests. I mean, yeah. they're bringing on interesting guys. Gronk was hilarious when he said that thing about not watching game film and he just asked Tom Brady. That's great. McAfee was great.
McAfee was awesome.
Favre,
as I tweeted, has fucking Southern Mississippi internet where he was like on a delay. Brett Favre, move to a fucking part of the world of running water. Stop calling into Monday night, zooming into Monday Night Football from your outhouse, you backwards ass fucking idiot.
But even that, you know, they discussed when you did get.
What did I teach Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. I taught him you could throw it however, throw it with your foot or whatever. But, you know, fucking, I mean, he's been pretty good forever. So, like, to be honest, I didn't really talk to him, but I was like, hey, you know, McCarthy doesn't give a shit if you're just like a bonehead with the ball. So just do whatever you want.
It's great, though. And I can see other networks following suit. Now, obviously, you have two unique personalities and that's tough to.
Four Super Bowl rings.
Duplicate.
Quarterback royalty.
But like they know their roles, too, which I think is important when you do a duo.
I don't even think they know their roles. I think that's just their roles, like in their family.
Like Eli doesn't.
Eli is so great.
He doesn't overspeak.
Never. Sits back, picks his spots.
Has great one-liners.
Like, yeah. And you know, Peyton's a pretty funny guy, but like Eli's batting average, that when they're doing jokes, I mean, Eli's hitting like 800.
Yeah.
Like every time he talks, it's crushing it.
Sure.
Peyton's like going on and on and on. And you're like, this is perfect balance.
Yeah. Peyton said something that I never thought of. He was talking about to do like a bad fake handoff. Did you hear that part? Which I never would have thought of or heard. He was saying, I forget the play that the Packers were running, but I don't know if it was play action or some sort of fake. It was some sort of fake. And he said, the way you want to bring the defense, you don't want to bring them in too. Oh, it was on a screen. That was it. He said, you don't want to bring them in too much on the run when you fake handoff because they're going to be too far up. You want to kind of do a shitty fake because then the DBs are still far back to play the screen. Or maybe it was the opposite. You want to bring them
right
in farther.
I missed that one.
I'm probably saying it wrong. But regardless, I was at my brother's and I said, wow, I never would have thought of that. But that's a nugget I never would have also heard on a regular broadcast.
I mean, the intricacies of which they go into, it's like, it's unbelievably good. And like, I just can't believe, first of all, there's two groups of people that, you know, on the internet that are complaining about this. And one is, except if you put in like Manning brothers, if you put in Peyton and Eli on a Monday night, first of all, there's straight up people being like, give me the regular game. It's like, bro, how did you even get to ESPN 2? Like ESPN 1 comes up before. It's like, how did you even think that this is the broadcast? Which is the best part about this. When you say revolutionizing, you know, broadcasting, is that it's on the second ESPN channel. Like give the idiots out there who want to hear fucking Brian Greasy and fucking Joe Tessitore. I mean, I can't believe there are old heads that want that.
Well, it's not Tessitore. It's Greasy Levy.
Who cares? I don't give a shit. It's fucking Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser. Who gives a shit? It's not the fucking Manning brothers. So fine. Wherever this happens, if people continue to do this, give people the main broadcast being old people who don't give a shit about anything and are not entertaining and are not insightful. For all the people, I don't know. It, like, I honestly feel like it's the Jeopardy Wheel of Fortune crowd. It's like, fine, make the national number one broadcast, the Wheel of Fortune, for the dumbs. And then for all of us who want to fucking hear two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time break down the game in a way we've never heard before, put them on the secondary channel.
Yeah.
It's amazing that that's not flip-flopped, but.
And then the stories, like the stories McAfee was telling about Peyton, those were gems. And I really enjoyed that neither Eli or Peyton would acknowledge why Pat McAfee was sweating that game because of the spread.
Yeah.
Because the spread was clearly, or he clearly had it at 11 and a half.
Yeah.
Hence the Detroit couldn't score another touchdown to cut that 18 point lead to 11. But they didn't acknowledge it, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. And they kept going to, like, all he wanted was Peyton Manning desperately to say good punt. And they kept going to commercial literally right after the punt.
Yeah.
So funny.
It's a shame they're not doing all the games.
Yeah. They're doing 10 of 17. So I would have thought for sure it would be like week on, week off almost. But I think they're doing again week three. So they must be doing something where then they're going to take a week off for some reason here and there.
And it just ends. Did you watch? Have you watched to the end?
Like, yeah.
It just ends.
Yeah.
There's
and
no-
it just goes to halftime. They don't do anything. Like, they just stops. It just starts, stops. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I love it.
I really
and then there's and then there's people are like, why are they on the screen? Give me the game noise. And you're like, Jesus Christ, who are you?
Well, they modified it. Did you notice for week two? They did have the game noise.
Yeah.
So they made it better. The production value is better week two. They're going to keep doing tweaks. I really think this is going to revolutionize all sports.
The problem is it's setting a bar so high. Like what others, like, I mean, honestly, name a pair and like name a pair with that much cachet that could do any other sport. Like,
you could do the TNT crew for a basketball game that style, I think. Or two of the three.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Be close.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be as good. Or you do.
I mean, even
a sports
think about
fanatic
even
who's
this
a celebrity.
Even in terms of like, you know, the actual X's and O's strategy. Kenny Smith, the teams were taking 8 3-pointers a game when Kenny Smith played. I don't even know if they have a 3-point line when Charles Barkley came into the league. Like, Eli retired 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's pretty great, man. I'm all for it.
I mean, they're even behind, you know, when they talk about when they had Lamar Jackson and they were talking about RPO stuff like that. They're already like kind of antiquated in terms of like all that stuff. Now that's also not what clearly wasn't their style of play.
Yeah.
I love Pat McAfee bonering out over Arch Manning too. He wanted to talk a ton about the kid, which by the way, I looked up because I was like, oh, I'll be in New Orleans. Maybe I'll go to an Arch Manning high school football game while I'm there. Bound to see Giants at Saints, that were bound to have Eli in town. But of course, I didn't think about it. Friday night. They play Friday nights.
Yeah.
You know, us
Eli, East Coast, New Yorker Eli guys, said, he said on McAfee's show, he thinks Arch will be the best Manning.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. It's insane.
That poor kid's got a high bar to follow hearing his uncle say that.
I mean, his other, like Peyton Manning is arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. You could make an argument. So the high bar, he'll be the best.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like it's the only comparison I would ever have for those sort of expectations would have been LeBron James. The bar that was set so high for him.
Yeah.
At that
and even
same
that,
age.
And even that, it's like at that age, it was really high, but like he's not the only, like other people got that LeBron treatment like before LeBron and never lived up to it. And they just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. You know what I mean? Where like art, like a kid like Arch Manning, he won't disappear. Like he won't just be like, oh, Felipe Lopez. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So they announced the first year eligibility for Hall of Fame class. And I want to discuss this briefly before we get into our picks. Interesting first year nominees for the 2022 Hall of Fame. So the first year eligible Hall of Famers, Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin, Andre Johnson, and Devin Hester.
Wow. I mean, I guess I feel like.
And also, DeMarcus Ware, Vince Wilfork. I mean, those receivers, though.
Well, wow. Devin Hester definitely not getting in as an offensive player and definitely not getting in as a defensive back. The question is, you know, where is the NFL?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Is the Hall of Fame on just straight up just return guy? He's the greatest returner of all time, right?
That's my point. He's a Hall of Famer. There's three facets of the game. I know we always overlook special teams, but if he's the greatest kick and punt returner of all time, how is he not a Hall of Famer? He has to be. Without a doubt.
And then the other guys, it's almost like three different styles. Andre Johnson is a great example of a guy. It's like, dude, he was just on the fucking Texans. And the Texans were never good when he was there. He has Calvin Johnson, like, I mean, obviously not at that level, but like close. Like, he could have been so much better had he not been a Texan. Yeah. I truly believe that. I think he's the most talented receiver out of the three of them.
All right, so I'm pulling up their stats. Wow, these guys are so similar. Wow. Listen to this. This is nuts. Andre Johnson receptions, 1,062. Steve Smith, 1,031. Anquan Boldin, 1,076. This is unbelievable. They're all within 40 receptions all time of each other for their career. Yeah. Yards, Andre Johnson, 14,185. Steve Smith, 14,731. Anquan Boldin, 13,779. I mean, they're all so close. Andre Johnson, touchdowns, 70. Steve Smith, 81. Anquan Boldin, 82. That's absolutely amazing.
I think Andre Johnson, far and away, the best receiver of the three. And what proves it to me is...
Far and away, wow.
Yeah, and what proves it to me is I would have... If you had asked me, I would have said exactly what you said, but I would have thought Andre Johnson's stats were not where those guys were. I would be like, Steve Smith and Anquan Boldin are going to be remarkably similar statistically. And I was like, Johnson's going to be, you know, 80% of them, but in like whatever. I think by far the best of the three. And now that his stats are basically even, I say 100% he's in.
Between the three of them, 2,000 yard seasons and 1,800. I mean, they are just lining up on par with each other. I say they're all Hall of Famers.
I mean, obviously it makes a hard argument for one and not the other.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about first ballot. I don't know how that works.
How about length of years? What are their year totals?
Andre Johnson played 193 games. Steve Smith played 219. So that's a lot more.
Yep.
And Anquan Boldin played 202. So Johnson played the least amount.
Yep.
He was a beast.
Dude, I'm telling you he's Terrell Owens if he switches teams with Marvin Harrison. I think if he's, and now obviously you can say that about a lot of people. Hey, put him with Peyton Manning. But like, honestly, he's in that division. He comes in the league around the same time. I'm talking, put him in the division. Put him on Peyton Manning's team, and I think he's like a top five receiver ever.
So all-time yards, these guys are so close to each other now, all-time. I mean, they're all so close as far as how tightly bunched up all the top 25 receivers are. Steve Smith is eighth all-time. Andre Johnson is 11th. And Anquan Boldin's 14th. All the other guys are going to be Hall of Famers or are already in the Hall of Fame that are in the top 14 besides them. It's absolutely like, it's crazy that all three of those guys, I mean, again, I put them all in. I don't know about first ballot. I don't know how that works, but they're all Hall of Famers. Now, what about DeMarcus Ware? That's an
great,
interesting
great,
one.
Great player. Does he jump out? I mean, does he jump out to you as like a guy? I mean, I think offensive tackles and quarterbacks and offensive coordinators probably have a different opinion of him than we do. But like in terms of you as a fan, did you ever watch a DeMarcus Ware game and go, "Ooh, we get DeMarcus Ware today. You get to watch a little DeMarcus Ware."
I don't know if I did that, but I would argue towards him being a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Just, I mean, he was dominant for years for two teams. 9-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first team All Pro. So that means 4 times.
Yeah.
He was the best at his position in the league. 138 and a half career sacks, which is 9th all time.
Okay, put him in. 9, if you're top 10 and you're a 4-time All Pro.
Tough to not put you in. Mm-hmm. Guys ahead of him on 1 through 8 on the all-time sack list. Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Kevin Green, Julius Peppers, Chris Dolman, Michael Strahan, Jason Taylor, Terrell Suggs, and then DeMarcus Ware. Behind him are all Hall of Famers, mostly. I put him in. But I also tend to agree with what you're saying. If I was watching a Cowboys or Broncos game, I wasn't like, DeMarcus Ware.
I mean, even in, like to be fair, even on the Broncos thing, like he was – they paired him opposite Von Miller, right?
Sure.
Like, that was the whole strategy.
Yeah. True.
Now, that, I'm not saying having great teammates should make it – you know, should hurt your case or whatever. I just look, you know, I try to go from the gut before I look at the stats. Like I made an assumption on those receivers based on what I knew about their careers that Johnson's stats would come in a little behind them, but he was like, to me, a more effective player that played less games on worse teams. Then when you tell me his stats are equal, I'm like, oh, fuck it. Then he's for sure in.
Yeah.
To me, like my gut reaction to DeMarcus Ware is like, as a Giants fan, I was never like, oh no, got Ware this week. But, you know, I also can't argue with 9th in sacks all time and 4 all pros. So fine, put him in. Hopefully he goes in wearing a Broncos helmet.
Here's some,
not that they wear hats.
Here's some trivia for you. See if you can get this. Where did DeMarcus Ware attend college?
Troy.
Oh, that is a good one. You got it. Troy University in Alabama.
Because I believe also OCU Mayora went there.
They've put out a couple stud pros.
Yeah.
I did a show there in 2009. Wow. You talk about small little college town in the middle of Alabama. I remember I drank all night with these college kids, the bar, like Jack and Cokes. I'm buying everybody's drinks. I am not exaggerating. I had like a whole group of kids. The bar tab was like $40.
Yeah.
Quality of life.
Yeah, exactly.
And there was this kid. Like I stayed at one of the kids' houses and I went down there for like a few nights. Did the show, but I was like, I'm staying down here. When am I going to be in Troy, Alabama ever again? I'm just going to party for a few days with these kids. This one kid in the fraternity, this poor kid was like, you know, like you can't like openly be, at least, okay, 2009, you couldn't really be openly gay in Troy, Alabama.
Yeah, I don't think you can be openly gay in Troy, Alabama right now. I don't think you'll ever be allowed to be openly gay.
This kid was so flaming. Like, so definitely gay. And you know who I did the show with? Sandy Danto. We flew down together. And Sandy and I kept laughing. We're like, are they just gonna like so-and-so? Because he was one of the kids' houses we were staying at. We're like, cool, dude, he's gay, whatever, no big deal. But like, are they just gonna act like, I mean, he was like this, and how you guys, like, I'm not exaggerating, he was just so over the top. And I'm like, are we just gonna?
He was the kid from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He was. Bruno, like, I'm not even exaggerating. He was so, and he talked, he's like, how y'all doing? What are you guys going to drink tonight? And he had like the Southern twang and the lisp. And I'm like, are they just going to act like Brian or who? Like, guys, he's gay. Like, and he's just got to cover it up.
The question is, if you're that kid, what, you know, how do you end up at Troy? You think he was just like, I don't know, I just thought the idea of being in Troy was so exciting. Kid, maybe don't go to school in Alabama. He's like, I don't know, Troy. I like Troy.
Brad Pitt looked so ripped in that movie.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So I vote him in. It seems like you would vote him in.
Sure. Put them all in. Devin Hester, DeMarcus Ware, all the receivers, they're all in. The gay kid from Troy, he's in. Honestly, to be in Troy, Alabama, and to be, you know, super gay, like, I, Hall of Famer in my book.
That's a good point.
It's like Andre Johnson on the Texans. It's like, how did you survive, bro?
Yeah, that's a good point. That guy.
Put him in.
He needs a bust. I can't put him in. Yeah. Okay, we're on to
week. I would never wear a gold jacket. That's disgusting.
I remember a
mustard blazer.
I remember.
What am I, an extra and working girl?
You'll love this. And I'm sure he doesn't care me talking about this.
Cancel. By the way, every time we do this,
I know.
We cancel.
Sandy Danto, he smuggled his marijuana in a. What did he smuggle it? He would put it in like a giant thing of.
In his bra?
No, he put it in, you know, a giant gold bond powder thing. He'd empty it out and then put the bag of weed in it and then put the powder back in. And that's how he smuggled his weed from California to Alabama on our flight.
Now we just have vape pens and
edibles. Like, that shows you how far things have come with marijuana since 2009.
How I you went to a concert last night at Santa Barbara Bowl. And like, I mean, the amount of vape pens, like they're just not even checked. You know what I mean? There was one point where it's like they're playing the encore. People are just waving their lit vape pens.
There's something about smoking it when you have a joint or a pull, like a bowl versus the, I don't know. I like the feeling better than the vape pen.
But in a pinch, like when you're traveling, when you're walking into someplace.
Sure.
By the way, have you ever been to the Santa Barbara Bowl?
No.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It kicks the shit out of like the Hollywood Bowl and whatever. It's smaller, but it's that same natural amphitheater vibe, but it's in such a nice shape. It's like, honestly, maybe one of my favorite concert venues ever.
Who's performing?
The Lumineers. I walked in from Santa Barbara. You walk through like a neighborhood. You're just like in a residential neighborhood. And then boom, you're in the Santa Barbara Bowl. Like tucked up in this mountaintop area. Like unbelievable. What an experience. I'm going to look at concerts here. It's like, it's one of those things. Like when we lived in Venice, like a couple times I went to Long Beach Airport and I was like, I mean, just the breezing through security makes it worth the half hour drive.
Sure.
It's like, I'll drive up here 2 hours to not like have to park at the Hollywood Bowl or like be in that. Like,
yeah,
just everything about it is so chill. And then the street that it's on, I found this out yesterday. They call it the Santa Barbara Taco Trail. Like the whole street is lined with taco shops.
Really?
Yeah.
Santa Barbara's a great city.
Yeah, it really is.
You want to get to the week three picks?
Yes. Andy, before we get to week three picks, can I do a plug?
Sure.
I may as well get two plugs out since we do it. But first of all, I've talked a lot about this charity, EndCan, the charity to end child abuse and neglect. Well, they have started doing their walks, their charity walks, and their one in Dallas is this weekend. And there is a Dirty Sports team that already has members on it. There will be dirt balls walking in Dallas this weekend to end child abuse and neglect. So if you're a dirt ball and you're in the Dallas area, you can join an already formed Dirty Sports team and walk to end child abuse and neglect. Go to endcan.org and sign up if you're in Dallas area and walk this weekend. And I think it's next weekend is the one in Los Angeles. Unfortunately, I will be in New Orleans for shows, but all kinds of walks coming up all over the country. There's one out by you in Columbus. So guys, if you're a dirtball, there, meet other dirtballs and do something good. And unfortunately, like I said, I won't be in LA next week, or I would for sure be walking, but I'll be in New Orleans doing shows. So if you want to come to those shows, if you're in New Orleans, you want to come to those shows, it's Comedy House New Orleans. I've got a post up on Instagram about it. I've got my link in all my bios. Check that out.
So week three, we are here officially. You know how it goes. Football season flies by. We're already in the third week. And as always, we will be going over our lines presented by FanDuel, the official Dirty Sports sponsor for all NFL season long. So dirtballs, if you're playing fantasy and you want to join another league or you haven't signed up yet, go ahead and sign up at FanDuel. You can start playing fantasy this football season, and FanDuel will give you a 20% bonus on your first deposit up to $500. So you can do new lineups every day. You can choose one of their many formats, the single game, the main slate, the best ball, snake draft, you name it. There's many different formats that they have. And you can even do private contests with your friends. So we will be going over on their sports book right now. I'm at sportsbook.fanduel.com, and we'll be checking out the NFL lines through FanDuel. So go ahead and sign up if you haven't already. Experience season long wins without the season long waits. Sign up today at fanduel.com/dirty to claim your bonus and start playing today. That's fanduel.com/dirty. Age and location restrictions apply. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. Okay, so week three, first game, the undefeated Panthers travel to Houston, take on Davis Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Third round pick, backing up Tyrod Taylor. Panthers are hot. They're 2-0. Defense is playing great. They're 7.5-point favorites. It's a big spread.
It is a big spread. And obviously the spread would not be that big if it were even Tyrod Taylor. And I would probably be leaning Texans. You feel like no matter who is the quarterback of the Texans, that the Panthers with 2-0 start are probably favorites in this game. But if you imagine a 3.5-point or a 4-point favorite with a Tyrod Taylor, I would be leaning Texans. Cause I'm like, you know, the Panthers have looked good, but like, are the Panthers like a 3-0 starting team? Are they, you know, are they primed to have a short week fall off at, on the road, but with a backup quarterback on a short week against a team that's playing well? Yes, it's a home game. I'm going with the Panthers.
Yeah, I can't not go with the Panthers because of those things. I just don't think they're going to be able to score enough points to cover that spread.
And what a great opportunity for the Panthers. Like, you have to see it as an opportunity. Like, every week in the NFL is going to be a battle. You've got to look at short week, rookie quarterback, first time, you know, starting in the NFL. You've got to look at it as an opportunity to feast. If the Panthers don't come out and kick their ass, I'd be shocked.
Yeah. The only thing that keeps the Panthers in this game is if Sam Darnold has a poor game, in my opinion, and throws some bad picks.
Talk about, you know, he's been great at protecting the ball so far. You have to go into this game saying, hey, here's the deal. We're going to let them make mistakes.
Sure. I agree. So staying in the AFC South, the Jags are also at home and also in a 7-point, 7.5-point game this with the Arizona Cardinals. So the Cardinals are 7.5-point favorites in Jacksonville. I've been riding the favorites a lot this year, and I'm going to continue to do that in this game because I just don't think Jacksonville can keep up with Arizona scoring.
Yeah. Cardinals 38 points and 34 points in their two games. Let's like take a touchdown off from that, right? Let's just take a touchdown off of 34. Let's just say they don't have the game they had last week, even though, again, they played the Vikings and the Titans. Let's say they score 27 points. Do we think that the Jaguars can score 20 points in a football game?
No. And I know Arizona's defense looked bad last week, but they looked good in week one against Tennessee.
Jaguars scored 21 in the against the Texans in a game that they were blown out of. They scored 13 last week against the Broncos. I'm going with the Cardinals as well.
All right. Again, we're going to stay in the AFC South. This one is difficult because we don't know the situation of Carson Wentz. Indy travels to Tennessee. Titans are 5-point favorites.
Well, the status of Carson Wentz is that he's out and or severely hobbled based solely on Vegas's line, correct?
Sure.
This is not a five. What did you say? 5.5?
It's 5 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
The latest from 2 hours ago from NFL.com, the Colts are prepared to play both Jacob Eason and Brett Hundley if Wentz can't go.
So the Colts are without Carson Wentz and don't know which guy they're going to play?
Well, it says they're prepared to play both.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to keep riding the favorites, but I'm going to ride the favorites again.
After the Titans' second half last week against your Seahawks and at home, blood in the water with Carson Wentz hobbled. Seems crazy not to. 5.5? Five. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I don't know how we fared. How did we fare last week? Basically riding the favorites.
We did very well. I want to say we got 11 of 16 games.
And you got one that I didn't get, and I got one you didn't get.
Correct. So I'll take 11 out of 16. These games aren't easy to pick. Okay, Ravens travel to Detroit. Ravens coming off that huge win, 7.5-point favorites. Jared Goff completely 100% exposed in that Packers game as being the medium pizza that we knew he was. 7.5.
They played, they were there for, they hung around for a minute though, didn't they?
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the Lions because of that. I think I can see a backdoor cover.
Are you going backdoor Goff?
Yeah. I'm going to take a chance on this one.
Let me look. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Okay.
I didn't do it before, but I'm pulling it up now. I'm pulling up because I like this strategy I have a pick'em league with spreads and I fill it out pretty quickly. I like to go with the idea that it's just go with your gut.
Sure.
I'm looking at it now. I'm just going to confirm and so far my gut's been confirmed. My Panthers, Titans, Ravens.
I'll take a chance on the Lions. It's probably a stupid chance, but I'll take a chance. This next one's a little tougher. The Washington football team travels to Buffalo, where the Bills are 7-point favorites.
Ooh, 7.
It's a big spread for me.
It's big. My pick'em had him at 8.5. 7 might be enough. It's at Buffalo, isn't it?
Yeah, Washington's had 10 days off.
You know what? I'm going to do Washington as well.
We said it at the same time. Yeah. It's just such a big spread.
And they looked good offensively last week.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants are for some reason are playing prevent the entire football game. So it's going to make a lot of people look good offensively. Dude, you got to see. I was like, Danny, just let me talk to somebody there. Like, I just want to be like, what is the deal? Why are we playing prevent the whole game? I just need an answer direct from the source. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Washington as well.
Saints travel to New England. Jameis versus Bill Belichick. Pats are 3-point favorites at home. So basically, they're calling this a push game on a neutral site.
Yeah. I think it's going to be right in there. I think it's going to be a 3-point game. I think this is a game that comes down to the wire. But I'm going to go with the Patriots at home. Defense feeling good. Defense taking the ball away from Zach Wilson last week 4 times. I know we're talking about the Jameis Winston mistake-free dialed back version of Jameis Winston. I think Bill Belichick can look at Jameis Winston as a rookie quarterback, essentially. I'm going to confuse the guy.
Yeah, it's really tough. This is definitely being a homer with my opinions on Jameis. It's tough for me not to bet against the Saints in this one. Mm-hmm. I got to go with the Patriots in a low scoring game. And if the Saints fall to 1-2, I wouldn't be surprised. All right. This one, I made my mind up the minute I saw the spread. Chargers at Chiefs, 6.5 points, way too big for me. Going the Chargers in this one. Cause the Chiefs defense is suspect. So I think the Chargers can hang in with them, putting up points in a shootout.
I have the Chargers as well. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, the tough part about this pick for me is I would be the same amount surprised by a Chargers winning this game as I would by a 35-point Chiefs victory. Like, it's like, yeah, there's a way better chance to me that this is a 14-point win than a 3-point Chiefs win. But at the same time, it's like 6.5 with the way their defense is playing, with the way the Chargers have been able to move the ball. Really, the big fear here is the Chiefs coming off a loss. But I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Chargers always play them tough. Always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Division game.
I'm going to have to start getting into some difference of opinion.
I think we might have one here. Bears travel to Cleveland. Browns are 7-point favorites. It will be Justin Fields' first start. I thought he looked absolutely awful last week. The reason they win that game, their defense was suffocating. They're up 20-3. They almost blew that lead. I think the Browns win and cover, and I think Justin Fields struggles.
Nice. Finally. Yeah. I'm going with the Bears simply on the Bears are not a dog shit football team. And I started this season by saying the Browns are no longer a punchline. And I don't think the Browns are a punchline. And I think the Browns are a good football team. But there is still something about the orange helmet of the Cleveland Browns that says, are you a touchdown favorite over anybody that isn't the Texans, the Jaguars, the just like the doormats of the NFL? I'm going with the Bears. And I think, you know, I have a hard time judging quarterbacks in their first professional starts. I'm not calling Justin Fields a bust just yet.
I'm not calling him a bust either.
I know you.
I'm just saying he looked awful. If you watch that game, he looked awful. He was missing his throws all game. He had a nice running first down, which basically won them the game, but not with his arm. He wasn't looking good. And I think that Browns defense will get after him.
Yeah.
There's a reason he didn't start the year. They were trying to let him get his, you know, feet wet and grounded a little. So
well, I'm just glad we have a difference of opinion. Yeah, let's go. I got to make up like one game back or two games back.
All right. This one is tough again because of injuries. The Bengals travel to Pittsburgh. We classic Big Ben already hurt, pectoral issue. This started at 4.5. It's down to 3. Steelers are 3-point favorites at home. We don't know if Big Ben is playing hurt or if whack-a-mole Mason Rudolph is going to start.
Yeah. I am going with the Steelers to win and cover, and I'm doing it based solely on Mason Rudolph, Big Ben. Doesn't really matter to me. I think there's still some big brother strength, Steelers versus Bengals. I could see the Bengals, you know, putting a nail in the Steelers are a great team coffin, but just not in Pittsburgh. I think that we're going to save that one for later in the year, maybe when they play in Cincinnati. I'm still not a huge Steelers fan, but the idea that, you know, Joe Burrow and the Bengals go into Pittsburgh and upset a Steelers team seems crazier to me than Mason Rudolph just beating the Bengals.
Yeah, to me, it's the Steelers defense. And I know TJ Watt is also questionable with a groin injury, but I don't even think that matters. The Bengals can't protect him. I stand by. Joe Burrow will not start all 17 games for the Bengals this year. Their O-line looks awful. By the way, Sewell for the Lions, fun fact, has not given up a sack this year, and he has not given up a sack at left tackle since 2018.
Right.
And everybody was freaking out that he didn't play that well in preseason. I don't know if you noticed Eli and Peyton both commenting on the O-line of the Lions saying they're protecting Goff.
Yeah.
And Sewell's looking good.
And it was, and the Lions were ecstatic that that guy fell to them.
Yeah. So huge mistake. In fact, I would argue colossal mistake by the Bengals by not drafting him and going with a receiver. Therefore, I'm going to go Steelers as well. They're going to get to Burrow and they're going to win by more than 3. All right. Your team is hosting the Falcons. Falcons at Giants, 3-point Giants spread. I have no clue where I'm going here.
Okay.
Both teams 0-2. Falcons have looked really bad. Then they got in that game out of nowhere. A lot of Matt Ryan slander. Again, I keep seeing it. Here's a fun fact for all you guys who are doing the Matt Ryan slander. The Falcons in the first two games, this is the most points they've ever given up in the first two games in their franchise. I'm not saying Matt Ryan is what he used to be because he's not. But
by the way, I'm here for Matt Ryan slander. I think there are aspects of Matt Ryan's career that are worth slandering. That being said, that doesn't change the fact that, you know, a resume that includes all the like compiling of gaudy career stats plus an MVP plus a Super Bowl appearance. It's like, what's the argument here anymore?
Yeah.
That being said, turns over the ball in the red zone more than you'd like. Sure. That being said, a big part of the Super Bowl choke, in my opinion. But, you know, what? And again, we're at the end of his career. So what is this? What do we say? Like, what's anybody's point?
Everybody just thinks he's so overrated. Like his career has been overrated. And his stats. Well,
if everybody thinks that, then he's not overrated, right?
Yeah, and his stats are – I was getting into it with a buddy the other day. And like, it's the same thing. Matt Ryan sucks. He's garbage. He's trash. And I just – like, people don't know what they're talking about. I'll just call it. I wrote to my buddy. I go, he has an MVP. He's going to finish top 5 in yards and touchdown passes. So shut the fuck up. Like, you just sound stupid. He's not trash. He's just not. And it's the funny part was I would – look where I was a few years ago. I was calling Matt Ryan Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
But I've changed because he's shown through consistency. With that being said, I just think their team is trash. And I think the Giants are going to win and cover.
So my thoughts on this game are varied. And I'll tell you in the end what sealed my decision. I think this is going to be a close game because I don't think the Giants beat up on people. They're 0-2. I don't think they have that ability there yet. they seem to be playing a full-time prevent defense, which I don't understand, which is going to make Matt Ryan be able to move the ball extensively. I think that this is a high-scoring game. I think this has a better chance of being a 14-point Falcons win than it does being a fucking Giants 10-point win. Like, I think the chances of the Giants blowing this game, I almost think it's like a coin toss who wins this football game, let alone the 3 points. But I think the Giants win, and I think the Giants cover, and I think it for one reason. On Sunday, the greatest offensive player in the history of the New York Giants will have his number 10 retired. They will have the most clutch player in the history of their organization in the middle of the field at halftime. I think
Mark Bavaro.
I think the franchise gets a win. Does something that they didn't do for the last 5 years of his career, comes together and gets a win for, again, the New York Giants offensive goat, Mr. And honestly, probably the best football broadcaster in the history of broadcast television, Eli Manning. Giants win and cover for Eli.
Who are the other good offensive players in the Giants history?
I mean, Tiki Barber's up there from all the aspects of his thing. Like, Frank Gifford is probably up there.
Man, he did. We're going deep.
Well, Frank Gifford, if you look at Frank Gifford, like running, catching, throwing, like did all the things. Y.A. Tittle.
Oh, man. You guys are going deep.
Rodney Hampton.
You guys have had a pretty pathetic offensive history.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, who's the best running back in the Giants history?
Tiki Barber.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but it is Tiki Barber.
That's crazy. Best wide receiver.
Best wide receiver. It's probably like fucking Amani Toomer. Like,
that's crazy, man.
I mean, I bet you Giants receiving leaders. Say New York Giants career receiving leaders. I mean, Amani Toomer's got the most yards and the most receptions. Yeah, it's Amani Toomer. 660 receptions, almost 9497, almost 9,500 yards. Yeah. And by the way, in New York Giants football history, Amani Toomer has 9,497 yards. Second is Odell Beckham, 5,476.
That's a huge gap.
Ever. Tiki Barber has the second most receptions ever. Odell Beckham's fourth. Jeremy Shockey's fifth.
Crazy.
I mean, honestly, Sterling Shepard is in his sixth year with the Giants and is like eighth or something like that. And he's the longest tenured Giant and he's got 3,700 yards. Like, he may be a top five, you know, he'll be a top five Giants receiver who plays two more seasons there.
That's nuts.
It's horribly nuts.
We referenced this game earlier in the show. The Dolphins travel to the Raiders. I'm riding Raiders hard. Just win, baby. Raiders 4.5-point favorites going against. Who are they playing against? Who's the quarterback for the Dolphins?
I don't know. Who is the quarterback?
Is it Jacoby Briscoli?
Jacoby Briscoli? I can't believe. Didn't the Colts just extend him?
That's an epic.
I can't believe he's not the Colts quarterback anymore.
Epic Joe and Tug battle.
I wonder if Tug is still team Jacoby Briscoli. Jacoby Brajol.
You riding the Raiders with me? 4.5 points.
Against Josie and the Pussycats? Yeah. Josie Brissett is like the hottest girl in your high school class, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at Josie Brissett.
That's a sexy name. Josie Brissett. Yeah. She's hot, man. Where she wears a skirt.
But Josie Brajol is not who you want starting a quarterback for
you. She's the girl who loves to crush chicken parm.
Yeah.
She's not the hottest girl. I'm going
with the Raiders. 4.5 is a lot, though.
It is a lot. And I know we're...
I liked it better when it opened at 3.
We're 100% setting ourselves up for a Jacoby Brissett
upset. A monster Jacoby Brissett. I'm not even worried about a Josie Brajol game. I'm worried about like a defensive battle that comes down to a kick.
Yeah.
I'm worried about a 11-8 football game more than I'm worried about, you know, Josie Brajol sticking around offensively. And honestly, the Raiders, dude, Derek Carr is throwing for 375 yards of football game.
He's looking like this could be his best year. It's his best start for sure.
And he's got MVP votes in his past.
Jets at Broncos. FanDuel has the Broncos at 10.5 point favorites right now. It's a big spread. They are struggling offensively, though, and Zach Wilson is taking his rookie QB lumps. I'm going to say the Jets cover. I keep doing this.
I'm so quiet. And my thing is always just like, let you talk it out.
The Jets keep doing this, but I'm going to just stick with them. Like, they keep screwing me over. I don't know. It's that half point.
I mean, I just think it's a matter of, like, if the Broncos play good football and the Jets play bad football, 10.5 is not even like, yeah, they get beat by 17. No one's surprised whatsoever. I'm mostly just like, you know, the wild throw thing is like Zach Wilson last week throws 4 picks and a lot of them terrible, terrible decisions. But like, you keep doing that every once in a while. Like, you look at the Carolina game, he had some big throws that went, you know, that worked. Like, I just think it's, you know, he's a guy who, to start his career, especially with the Jets, they're just going to let him huck it around and figure it out. And, you know, I got a backdoor Wilson.
Like the backdoor Wilson, his mom, you know what I'm saying? This thing on? Hello?
Yeah. Backdoor Wilson, his mom. I got it.
Okay.
Wilson!
All right, so we're both taking the Jets.
I love that Robert Saleh, Jets coach, is just gonna turn into Tom Hanks in Castaway this year. Just disheveled, unshowered, screaming Wilson after every terrible play.
As he runs
Wilson!
As he runs up and down those steps.
And then instead of I have made fire, I have been fired.
The Bucks. This is going to be a fun game. The Bucks travel to the Rams. Bucks are 1.5 point favorites. I'm going Rams win and cover.
Oh wow! He turns his back on his squad.
What do you mean?
Oh, sorry, I forgot you're also a Rams fan. Andy, do you remember me bringing this up last week? When the Rams opened as favorites?
I remember you saying this spread's going to flip and flop around.
Yeah. Rams opened as favorites, and now they're 1.5. It literally goes a full 3-point swing from 1.5 point favorites to 1.5 point dogs. I am also on the Rams getting points at home. I like it. I think if Matt Ryan is able to, I know it was only close for a second, but I think if Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons are able to move the ball in bunches at certain points against the Bucks, I look for a Cooper Kupp bonanza. My Cooper Kupp overfloweth.
I'm also on
the Rams.
I'm taking them to win straight up.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
I like it. I like this as a loss for the Bucs. Seahawks are another 1.5 point favorite on the road. They're traveling to Minnesota. Does Minnesota fall to 0-3?
I think they do. I take your Seahawks to win and cover. But let me ask you something, because I again think the Vikings are just bad. I don't think, like, and I know their defense isn't what it used to be, and I'm not saying their defense is good, but I am just so fucking sick of the, like, this is a matchup of teams that, like, the excuse at quarterback, I'm so sick of their offensive line. Dalvin Cook has no problem at all with your offensive line, guys. None. Thinks your offensive line is fucking great. Stop it with this I'm so sick of this garbage excuse where your running game is epically dominant. Your quarterback can't fucking throw the ball without getting sacked. Kirk Cousins is bad. He's bad. I truly believe that. And I'm taking the Seahawks to win and cover. Now, as a Seahawks fan, does it concern you that you're only 1.5-point favorites on the road in Minnesota?
No, I mean, it's a road game. I think Seahawks win and cover. I also wouldn't be shocked if they lose. I don't know what to make of this year's team. I mean, they were so
Let's
erratic.
Let's go, Hawks.
They were erratic last game. They got to run the ball better. They didn't run the ball against the Titans. They couldn't. They needed more balance. That's why they won week one. Yeah, I'll be curious how this game plays out, but I'm going to go Seattle, win, and cover.
Ask Dalvin Cook if he wants to run the ball behind the Giants' offensive line. Ask Saquon Barkley if he'd take a trade to the fucking Vikings. Your offensive line is fucking fine. I'm so sick of this. This is the new NFL fan. Well, you know, there's different types of blockers. The guys who...
Well, there is, Joe. I mean, we disagree there. Like, I mean,
yeah, I don't argue with that at all, other than the fact that, like, you can be a decent pass blocking team and a shitty run blocking team. And you can be a decent run blocking team and a shitty pass blocking team. What I'm sick of, I'm just absolutely sick of people arguing that you can be dominant run blockers and incompetent pass blockers. It's just not true. You're just not a dominant run blocking team and an like completely incompetent pass blocking team. Look at how long your quarterbacks hold the ball. If that is what you find is your offensive line, look at one thing and one thing alone. How long is your quarterback holding the fucking football?
Packers travel to San Francisco, Sunday Night Football. This is going to be a fun one.
It's going to be great.
Niners are 3-point favorites. Lions stayed in that game because the Packers, it's not their offense. It's their defense is not good. They had the fewest amount of sacks in the NFL entering week three. They're not applying any pressure to the quarterback. With that being said, I think the Packers cover and win.
Well, I think this matchup plays into the hands of you have a good Niners defense against a good Packers offense. You have a suspect Packers defense against, you know, I wouldn't say the Niners offense is suspect, but it's certainly the lesser of their two squads. I just think it plays into being a close, good Sunday Night Football game. I'll take the dog. You know, originally I had it at 3.5. It's now 3, right? It's 3 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
So I'll stick with it. I'll stick with I liked my half point I was getting, not getting into FanDuel. That's okay. I'll stick with it. I think the Packers could win this game. And when I think they can win, I'll take it, the dog.
All right. And the final game, Monday Night Football, Eagles at Cowboys, NFC East division game. Cowboys and FanDuel are 3.5-point favorites. I'm going to ride the Cowboys. I don't know what's going on with the Eagles offense.
I'm going to ride the Cowboys simply because I think that there is one good group here, and it's the Cowboys offense. The Cowboys defense, meh. The Eagles offense, question mark. The Eagles defense, meh. I'm going with it in Dallas. It's in Dallas, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Going in Dallas, Dallas offense. I think they win and cover.
All right. Those are our week three NFL picks. Let's get the calls. Before we get the calls, I just want to say, I can tell you shaved, but you kept the stash. And I shaved yesterday as well. And I know both of us used our Harry's razors. Did you get some Harry's razors in the mail?
I did, Andy.
You did?
I did. And you know what's funny? And I cursed this guy, but I went, our good friends at Harry's are so great at sending us free product. I mean, I have razor blades for days. I mean, I don't think in my lifetime I'll use all my Harry's razor blades, but I ran out of my Harry's shave cream and I went down to a local chain pharmacy who I won't blast on this show, but sadly, grossly, disgustingly, they didn't carry Harry's shave cream. So I got in my car. I left. I went to another chain pharmacy. They did carry Harry's. I picked up some Harry's shave cream. So I'm now driving around. I love it so much. I love Harry's shave cream so much. I left my pharmacy, drove to another pharmacy, and now I'm spending time, gas, whatever, just to get my preferred shave cream. I literally walk in my door and there's a box from Harry's with shave. I was like, guys, a day earlier would have been great, yeah. But it just goes to show you, even when it's not coming to me in the mail where I don't have to do anything, I will seek out my Harry's shave cream.
Well, we can avoid that problem, Dirtballs, by just having it sent directly to your house.
Absolutely. Don't make the mistake that Joe Prano made.
Yeah. There's never a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/dirty sports to get your starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So you've got nothing to lose. Go to harrys.com/dirty sports right now to get this special offer. That's harrys.com/dirty sports. Right to your house, guys. There's no reason not to do it.
Right to your house.
Okay. We talked to Eli earlier in the show. So we have a call with a comment on that broadcast.
Great.
Hey, what's going on, boys? This is Owen, former Pennsylvania and now New Jersey Dirtball for college. I heard you guys talking about like people that potentially dislike Eli Manning, you know, NFC East, the Patriots fans. And as a Pats fan myself, I don't think it's the fact that I hate Eli Manning. It's more of just I hate the fact that he was in between, you know, the perfect season, obviously. And, you know, it's not like he just came and let his nuts hang on the Pats twice. Like, it wasn't like he went off for like 450 and 4 touchdowns in both games. He came in and did what he had to do and made the plays when it mattered the most. So, you know, that's not something I'm going to leave, you know, I'm not going to put this negative tone about Eli Manning. I like the guy personally, but I can't speak for everybody. But that leads me to my question, and that's if you could have one season of your team back to like a championship, right? Like in my case, the 07 Pats, that's like the one season I'd want to have back. What would it be for you guys? Like, you know, the Giants or Andy's, you know, Seahawks, Chargers, Rams, Bengals, whatever it may be, or maybe the Reds or the Mets, something like that. You know what I mean? That's all I got for you. Sorry, I just went over a little minute. I tried to be quick, but that's everything. Stay dirty.
This is pretty easy for me. You know, the teams that jump out of mind, it's like that jump to mind for me are obviously my New York Giants only made one Super Bowl that they didn't win. But I was never the biggest fan of that squad. I was never a Kerry Collins fan. That Ravens defense was all time. You know, we kind of played above our heads to get there. To me, the Giants, 4 Super Bowls in my lifetime, I'm not pulling from the Giants pool. My Knicks, there was a couple of opportunities, certainly 2 finals appearances. 94 would have been a nice one. It would have been nice, but there's still, you know, in retrospect, you have this, it would still be like the Olajuwon. It would have been the first year Jordan was gone. If it's like, if it comes in the second year, like the Magic beat him, if the Knicks, you know, had beaten Jordan in the playoffs and then still gone on, I don't, everybody knows I don't give a whole lot of credit to, like, he missed half that season. He scored 35 points a game in the fucking playoffs or whatever it was. So like, if it had been 95, they beat the Bulls, they go, maybe that's the one I'm leaning toward. Obviously the 2000 Knicks Spurs, but still, like, that's not it to me. The Mets have been to a couple, have obviously have the World Series against the Yankees. Would have been nice to beat the Yankees, but, like, again, not a team I was absolutely in love with. Then you have 2000, mid-2000s Mets, 2007, that lose to the Cardinals on that back-breaking, you know, Wainwright curveball, and everybody thinks, oh, if the Mets go to the World Series, they absolutely dominate and win the same way the Cardinals did after a seven-game series. But to me, it's pretty obvious. It's my 2015 Mets. I throw out a pitch that year. They go to the World Series. I go to, you know, two games of the World Series. I go to multiple games of the playoff run. We sweep the Cubs. Like, that's the year for me. If I could have one World Series or one championship season, it would be that 2015 team that loses to the Royals. Heartbreaking, devastating. Would have been just long enough apart from, you know, I would have had a full-on adulthood Mets one to go along with my full-on childhood Mets one. That's the one for me. No doubt about it.
Well, I don't have many options. Let's just be real here. I'd say if you want to go back to the Bengals fandom, I was so young, but they lose that Super Bowl to Joe Montana on the epic comeback. I was a first grader, but
yeah. But then the John Candy story's gone. Then the fucking, you know,
but like
Montana is not in the GOAT conversation.
That's what I'm saying. Like how much does everything change for me personally, and also the NFL world, if Montana doesn't lead that 93-yard?
Also, just
drive.
How about the butterfly effect of, like, the Bengals being champions, like Boomer Esiason and being a like
Boomer was the
know.
MVP that year.
Yeah, I think 9/11 happens earlier. I think COVID happens earlier. Like, I think we're living in a, you know, we're living in a post-apocalyptic wasteland where, like, football's no longer a thing because we're all, like, fighting over oil and we've turned into cannibals. I don't think rooting for that Bengals team to, you know, win has good long-term butterfly effect.
And the 2012 Reds, they had the second best record in baseball. They won 97 games. You know, they take the first two in San Francisco. All they got to do is win one. They lose all three games in Cincinnati. San Francisco goes on to beat the Tigers in the World Series. That was a crushing one. I know people here in town who went to all three games, and they say it's just disbelief. It was classic Dusty Baker playoffs where the Reds had a stacked team. They won the division that year, just 2 years earlier. Like, that wasn't a good little run for them.
Hear me out. Are any of these above, or, like, I know they're not officially your team. Would you rather just give that? Would you rather not have Russ throw away the Super Bowl on the 1 yard line? Your boy Russ then has two. He doesn't have an epic choke job on the one.
No.
You'd rather have a Reds World Series than your boy Russ.
It's not, I mean, it's like, to be honest, it's kind of offensive that you would even ask that.
It's not like he went to the Super Bowl and just, like, lost. He was on the 1 yard line. Threw it into the hands.
I'm not even from Seattle. I just like Russ as a player.
I know. And I'm saying all the battling you've done for him, it's like the real black eye on his career. He handed a Super Bowl to the other team.
Well, fine. He's still a first ballot Hall of Famer at this point.
Okay.
Like,
he's no Andre Johnson, but, like, geez.
I mean, Russ's numbers speak for themselves. I feel I don't even have to argue him anymore at this point. Like, he's in year 10, what he's done through 9 years. And he's got a Super Bowl. Whether he game managed that and won it on a defense. Like,
I was just wondering.
There's no denying that, but I'm just saying, like, no, it's not even a question. But for me personally, probably of all of them, you guys are going to laugh, would be my high school senior year. I knew you would laugh.
I am going to laugh.
We were undefeated. We were pretty stacked. We're ranked nationally. And we got upset in the second round of the playoffs to Huber Heights Wayne, who ended up losing the state finals. Now, Huber Heights Wayne had some guys. They had Ohio State guys. They had Will Allen, who played in the NFL. But we got upset. We were underprepared. It crushed me emotionally. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me at the time. Little did I know, young, dumb, naive, 17-year-old Andy, life's going to be a lot harder than this. But that was a tough loss. That was a tough loss. Tough loss. But you know what? The Bombers are back and they're playing well this year. So now I get to relive my glory days. And I've been to a game already. I'll probably go to a couple. But Cincinnati, I had this discussion with somebody yesterday. You could argue, you really could argue at this point, worst sports town. I don't know who can make an argument over the last 30 plus years for a worst sports town as far as performance. It's really tough for a town that has at least two pro teams. The Bengals have zero playoff wins over 30 years. The Reds have one playoff series in 1995. And they've lost every other playoff series they've made. So, I mean, there's a big argument to be made that Cincinnati is the worst performing pro sports town in the last 30 years. In fact, I don't know who can counter to that. We're talking.
Yeah, I think it's a strong argument.
If you're saying not a single playoff win for the football team, one playoff series win for the baseball team, who can counterpunch that? Not Cleveland. They got a title. Yeah. They won a playoff game last year.
Yeah. I mean, even if you take the Cavs out of it, I mean, the Browns.
And how many World Series appearances, and the Indians have had a lot of World Series appearances.
Yeah, two.
So my point is, like, you really can't, again, the last 30 years, starting in 1991, I don't think there's a worse performing sports town than Cincinnati. San Diego's got at least a few playoff wins for football.
Yeah.
They made a World Series against the Yankees in the late 90s. Seattle's been successful in football.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Cincinnati, like, it's not good. I don't know if it's the chili. I don't know what it is, but it's not good.
I think it's the chili.
All right. Well, here's a call from another Ohio dirtball who's making a trip out to City of Angels.
Hey, Dirty Sports. This is Crypto Rant checking in from Cleveland. A group of us are going to be going down in 2 weeks to catch Browns at Chargers at SoFi, so I'm pumped about that. My questions. First, Reuther, would you sell your tickets, the famous Andy Reuther season ticket seats, to a dirtball? If so, I don't know if they're on SeatGeek. Would you mind shouting out the section and row? I'll try to find them, or I'll DM you. I'll buy them from you direct. Next question. You guys lived in Venice Beach for 10 years. What's something that a tourist from Ohio like myself needs to do if I got one afternoon to kill in Venice Beach? And the third question, Prano, I looked on your website. I didn't see any shows for Saturday the 9th, but if you're doing 5-minute sets anywhere, I'm here for it. So that's what I want to catch if I'm out in LA for one night. Let me know, man. All right. Stay dirty, guys.
All right. Let's go. And, you'll have to handle your ticket thing. Famous crypto rant. Also an Andy, I believe.
His name is Andy Ranta.
Yeah. So
similar to me.
You'll have to hit him up directly about your tickets. Nothing on the website for the ninth, because you know, when you do shows in town, they usually are, you know, booked more closer to the date. But I would say there's at least better than 50-50 chance that I'll have a show somewhere on October 9th in LA. So stay in touch, stay in my DMs. Stay on my website, almost certain. And honestly, if you remind me closer to the date, I could probably book one just to do it while you're here. If you're going to spend one afternoon in Venice Beach, I mean, it's like, if you're going to spend one afternoon, I wouldn't even say there's like one thing to do. I know Andy's not a big, Andy Reuther is not a big Abbot Kinney fan, but I think if you start at Abbot Kinney and Venice Boulevard and you walk Abbot Kinney all the way down till it turns into Brooks, and that turns into the beach, and then you hang a left and you go south on the boardwalk. I think if you go from one end to Abbot Kinney all the way down to the boardwalk and then walk all the way over, that you're going to hit pretty much everything you need to hit. There's bars along the way. There's restaurants along the way. There's shops along the way. That would be my walking afternoon Venice tour.
Sure. I mean, you know my opinion on Abbott Kinney. But if you want to see the real, the grime, the grit of Venice Beach, you definitely walk the whole boardwalk. You'll see some crazy stuff. You'll see the
which I just told them to do.
Sure. Hold on. You know, you'll obviously see the basketball courts, the skate park, Muscle Beach. You got to go down to Washington Boulevard, which connects to Pacific Avenue, which is where the Venice Pier is. You also have to see the canals, right? The canals sometimes get lost in the mix. It's like its own little Eden in an area full of crackheads and heroin addicts. The canals are gorgeous, beautiful homes. So those are a little farther south where yeah. I used, of where
fact,
I used
if you to wanna, live. In fact, you can extend the loop. You go down to Abbott Kinney, down to the boardwalk, all the way down to Venice Pier, maybe get a burger at Hanano.
Sure.
Go up from there, pass over, you know, to whatever those, like right by Baja Cantina, or is it Baja? Which one's the one that's up there?
It's Baja Cantina.
Is the bigger one that's outside and shit like that?
No, Cabo yeah. is on Washington.
Baja's
farther east.
Yeah, yeah. So keep going all the way up Baja Cantina, make a left, and now you can go through the
canals.
Then you go through the canals, and it'll take you right back out to where you started.
Yeah, and then you go to 1720 Pacific Avenue, the former home of the Smut Studio. Climb the walls like the zombies did in World War Z. See what's going on at the pool. And
if you're going to spend an afternoon there, you know, and you want to have a sunset beverage, go across from the Smut Studio. Jump up on the rooftop there at
Irwin, oh, yeah.
have a sunset,
yeah.
sunset drink.
Hotel Irwin's got a beautiful view. And that's a place I definitely recommend. Or, you know, you go, if you want a burrito.
Are you going to send somebody to Tocoya? Talk about fucking, look at where we've come.
Tocoya Organica. They changed, Joe.
Yeah,
they did. No, this is true. You don't want to give me credit.
You doxed them. Now you're recommending them.
I doxed them because when they opened, they didn't offer burritos and they changed. And I became a loyal patron to Tocoya Organica.
And he was like, listen, I know you guys are serving Mexican meats and rice and beans inside of flour wraps, but they are not as big a flour wrap as I demand. So I shall dox you.
No.
If you get bigger flour wraps and wrap more of your product into a bigger flour wrap, I will recommend you to people. But until then, I will firebomb your fucking restaurant.
That's not what happened. They did not offer. I'm telling you, man. I was excited to have a new restaurant directly across the street from me.
I know they didn't offer burritos. I'm just saying it's like the old fucking Jim Gaffigan joke. It's like literally every Mexican item is a different construction of meat and cheese and rice and beans in a flour tortilla. It's just the size and shape.
There's also that. What's that new Mexican place that opened during the pandemic?
What are we talking about? Mango Me Crazy?
Mango Me Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Mexican, but yeah.
They do burritos.
Yeah, they do burritos. That's why you didn't dox them.
Okay, I doxed them. It was 2016. Yeah. I was wild. I was off the rails. Things were happening.
The service crews here. We gotta start wrapping up.
Let's wrap this up. Okay, that's the show. Or I'm sorry, that's the calls. 310-359-8365. Give us a call. We'll get to you. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Dirty Sports. Drop a podcast review. And if you do, leave that Twitter or Instagram handle, and I will reach out to you for some koozies.
Go to joeprano.com for all shows. I'm wearing my shirt, Defend New Orleans. I'll be in New Orleans next weekend, October 1st and 2nd. Real Murphy's Law weekend. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. The Superdome caught fire this week, but they are saying that it will not affect plans for the still not confirmed, but mostly confirmed Giants at Saints game. Guys, I'll be at Comedy House, New Orleans in next weekend. Come to shows, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Links all over all my social media bios, which you can find at Joe Prano on all social media, except for Twitter, where I'm at Fix Your Life. And yeah, that's it.
All right. That's the show. Thanks for sticking around. Much love for all the support. You guys have a great weekend. And as always, stay dirty.